So now you got to hear my voice after that. Good morning. Wasn't it nice to pull out of your driveway on a Sunday morning and not have to shovel snow? So a quick poll. Who was out walking around yesterday with no coat on? Yeah, me too. It was beautiful, wasn't it? Well, welcome, folks. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors. If you're a first-time visitor this morning to Berry Christian Church, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd also like to invite you to visit with us in the back of the church after our service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please stop by and let us know this is your first visit, and we'd love to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Remember, right after this service, downstairs in the fellowship hall is the youth fellowship dinner, right around noon. There's a free will offering to raise funds for the youth activities. Lunch will consist of pulled pork sandwiches, barbecue beans, chips and salad, and drinks and cookies. Please do join us for that. And remember also the Lenten suppers, where members of our congregation will share their testimonies. Those will continue this Wednesday evening, March 20th at 6 o'clock through Wednesday, April 10th. That's also downstairs in the fellowship hall. Several in our church have had it laid upon their hearts to offer a 24-hour prayer vigil beginning at 7 o'clock this Friday, March 22nd. There are still a few time slots open, so please talk with Kathy Connell and sign up on the table back in the foyer. And please also read through the bulletin announcement page to learn about the new church directory photo appointments and upcoming Easter activities. Also want to remind folks, there, Kathy Gorman will be in the back of the church after service to hand out tickets, free tickets for the Easter party, which is also mentioned inside your bulletin. Please pick up a ticket for yourself and for a friend before you leave today. And I have one more announcement. I want to say thanks to each of you who have helped the Jacobo family drive the kids to and from school these past several months while Michelle undergoes treatment for cancer. We are so grateful for your help that we're giving you all a week off because it's spring break. So we don't need to worry about that this week. All right, do we have any other announcements this morning? Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Let us go up the hill of the Lord. He will teach us what he wants us to do. For the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people. Let us sing hymn number 190, All Stanzas.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me. First let me hear how the children stood round his knee, and I shall fancy his blessing resting on me. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace, all in the love light of Jesus' face. Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of his heralds, yes, I would sing loudest hosannas, Jesus is King.
ready, we bow in a few moments of prayer. Lord, we're grateful today for the privilege to gather in your house, for the gift of Holy Communion, for the blessings of our music offered in praise, and the message brought to us by our pastor. We are thankful for the reminders of spring weather ahead, as the recent snow and freezing temperatures appear to be giving way to warmer breezes and longer days of sunlight. We anticipate the beauty of flowers and grass and leaves on the trees in the very near future. And we reflect on the here and now, on our presence in your house, and we welcome the Holy Spirit as we begin our worship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon while we sing a little encore of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, first stanza on page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
20 kids this morning, how about that, huh? 21? Uh-oh, there's one hiding over there. Do I get paid by the child, by the way? I was just wondering. Kathy Connell is not here today. On National Geographic, they had that show about In Search of Noah's Ark. Well, it turns out it's in Kentucky. And that's where Kathy is today. She and her family have gone to eastern Kentucky to see Noah's Ark. And while we have a lot of young folks up here this morning, about six of us are going to do something a little different. In Kathy Connell's class, they made the tabernacle. And so about six of us are going to get up and read a little something and tell everybody here about the tabernacle that they made. So if you guys, you, come on up back here.
Thank you.
the tabernacle courtyard, and on Mount Sinai, Moses was given the Ten Commandments and instructions for the building of the sanctuary for God. Moses was commanded to make sure that every detail was exactly as God instructed, because it was a copy of the shadow of heavenly things. Amaya?
Altar of incense, a very specific form of equal parts of three frequent spices, a pure frankincense to be used only in the tabernacle.
Thank you. Giovanni?
Because Jesus gave up his life as a finally offering for the atonement of all our sins, God will meet us where we are if we only repent and ask him into our lives.
Was to bring with brighten, burn without ceasing both days and nights. The priest were to keep the oil that was made from the pierced olive oil replenished.
The table of shewbread, 12 loaves of flatbread sprinkled with frankincense represented the 12 tribes of Israel. The loaves were left on the table, all wasn't eaten by the priests on the Sabbath, and replaced with new.
Altar of burnt offerings, some types of offerings, grains, fellowship, guilt, sins. Because Jesus spilt his blood and gave his life, we no longer have to burn offerings.
Thank you.
The laver or bronze basin. The priests were to wash both hands and feet before making an offering and before entering the holy place.
And finally, Julian.
Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Once a year, the high priest would bring a blood offering as atonement for the sins of Israel. Inside the ark are tables of 10 commandments.
Aaron's
staff, that budded jar and manna. The mercy seat is where God promised to meet with and speak to the people of Israel.
Don't you think that's pretty good for these youngsters to get up here and do that? Just a little prayer right quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to come together, and we thank you for the tabernacle and for your Son Jesus, who keeps us from having to offer offerings anymore because he offered himself. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Thank you, children. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, we want to especially lift up Harry Booth, as he is at North Kansas City Hospital having a number of concerns with his heart. We also want to celebrate with Bob and Jackie Rockhold the fact that their daughter Melanie, the good results came back from a recent test, as we also lift up Willie Aubrey as well. We want to remember Jill Gregory in our prayers. We lift up Val Stringer and her brother, Matt Mattson, as both of them are at the same Tiffany Springs Rehabilitation Center. We remember Roger and Barbara Blakely's daughter, Michelle Angel, as she is recovering from a fractured elbow. We want to lift up Nathan Carrington's father, Joe Carrington. We remember John and Dorinda Hoke, as John is now hospitalized at the hospital in Deerfield Beach, Florida, after experiencing some seizures this past week. So again, the concerns for John are becoming more significant here. Catherine, we're so delighted you're here and worship with us today. And Michelle, we're so delighted that you're here in worship today, too. And we also continue to remember Betty Barnes in our prayers as she's been dealing with concerns for cancer. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are indeed grateful for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship to offer praise to your holy name. On this St. Patrick's Day, in which we celebrate the compassion of one who would leave his homeland and embark upon a quest to save the souls of one's kinsmen who had previously subjected him to slavery, we are indeed inspired by the selfless and loving compassion of St. Patrick. As St. Patrick upheld the selfless and forgiving love that was also so aptly portrayed by Jesus, we are prompted to ask how we too may set aside the wrongs of our past and simply strive to care for others as Christ cared for us. The violence imposed upon worshipers in New Zealand this past week reminds us once again that the forces of evil strive to motivate the hearts and minds of some in most violent and destructive ways. We seek your great comfort for the families and friends of the 50 whose lives were lost. We ask your healing presence for those who are striving to recover from wounds inflicted even while they simply chose to worship God. In the midst of grief and suffering, may one and all find comfort in your loving presence, O God, for as the psalmist reminds us in Psalm 147, we know that it is you who heals the brokenhearted and bandages up their wounds. And as we seek your comfort, may each of us also offer comfort to others in order to offer a measure of your everlasting hope. For as 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 reminds us, you help all in all kinds of troubles, so that we are then able to help others who have all kinds of troubles, using the same help that we ourselves have received from you. In the name of Christ, we offer this prayer as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Judy has our reading this morning. Thank you, Judy.
Good morning. The scripture is found in the book of Matthew today, 16, verse 13 through 20, 16th chapter, verses 13 through 20. And you can find that in your Pew Bible on page 895 and 96. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Thank you.
One thing you may not know about St. Patrick is that although he is considered the patron saint of Ireland, he wasn't Irish. In the late 4th century AD, at the age of 15, a group of Irish raided his father's villa in Britain, and he was taken away and forced into slavery. 6 years later, at the age of 21, he escaped slavery and was able to return to his father's home. While a slave, however, his faith was transformed. He believed he was called by God to take the gospel of Christ to Ireland. And so he returned as a missionary and adopted the name Patricius, or Patrick, which is derived from the Latin word meaning father figure. Thus, he played an important role in converting the native Irish to Christianity, traveling around the country performing baptisms and confirmations. One would think that St. Patrick would have had nothing but disdain for the people of another land who had stolen him from his home and made a slave out of him. But it was the love of Christ that compelled him to serve Irish people rather than to hate them. As we gather at the Lord's table on this St. Patrick's Day, may we be compelled to lay our hatred at the foot of Christ's cross, and may we be compelled to love others as Christ has loved us. Our communion hymn this morning, it's number 406, as we sing all stanzas of Beneath the Forms of Outward Right.
Beneath the forms of outward rite, thy supper, Lord, is spread. In every quiet upper room, where fainting souls are fed, the bread is always consecrate, that friend divides with friend. Each act of true community repeats thy feast again. The blessed cup is only past, true memory of thee. When life anew pours out its wine with rich efficiency, O Master, through these symbols shared, thine own dear self impart, that in our daily life may flame the passion of thy heart.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come gratefully to this table again this Sunday to be reminded of what these emblems mean. The life that you led, the life that you lived for us, so that we can spend eternal life with you. We just thank you for the suffering that you did. We thank you for these emblems, the bread representing your body and the wine representing the blood that you shed for each of us. And we thank you for your abounding love. We ask that you forgive us the times that we disappoint you, but we know that you love us unconditionally. We just, again, thank you for you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. The family from which St. Patrick originally came from in Britain was quite wealthy. When he escaped slavery in Ireland and returned home, he very easily could have gone back to that life of wealth to which he had originally been accustomed. Yet it's quite interesting to note that as he chose to return to Ireland as a Christian missionary, he was taking on a life of poverty in his quest to bring the Irish people to Christ. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The remaining 11 disciples of Jesus may well have considered themselves friends of one another, and thus may well have been compelled to lay down their lives for one another. But St. Patrick chose to give up a life of luxury and deliberately returned to those whose kinsmen had enslaved him in a loving quest to save their souls. We are inspired by St. Patrick's example of great love. As Gail lifts up a word of prayer, and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning. Gail.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the beautiful day that you have given us. You give us so many wonderful, wonderful gifts, and at this time, this is our chance to give back a portion of everything that you have blessed us with. Please bless these gifts and bless the giver. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Certainly is a joy to see all of you here in the Lord's house this morning. As I stand here, I'm always able to kind of look out those two glass windows there on the doors, but what I've noticed today is that there's something missing. It's that big old pile of snow that used to cover up the lights up there from the traffic light. It's all gone now. Aren't you all glad? Are you? You know, I hear, though, that they still got snow up in Iowa and Minnesota. You know, Minnesota had the largest amount of recorded snow in Minnesota history for the month of February. So I think they're still, it's going to take a while. Of course, now we have to watch out for what? Our rivers, don't we? You know, as all of that begins to come this way. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Merciful God, we're grateful for the privilege to be in your house and to know that we can claim the names you've given us. As even Simon was given a name by Christ, so also we can bear our names given to us with joy and gratitude as we hope that they portray who we truly are in Christ. It's in his name we offer this prayer. Amen. So here we are this Sunday talking about the second of the apostles. Last week we talked about Andrew. Now we're going to start talking about his brother Simon. But we're going to take more than 1 week. You know, again, Simon Peter was a powerhouse among the apostles. So we've got to take more than one Sunday to talk about him. But as we begin this morning, I ask the question, have you ever had a nickname? Who gave it to you? What did that person or group imply by giving that name to you? Did it stick? You know, among kids, nicknames are usually meant to tease and often involve the exaggeration of perceived attributes of the person. During my teen years, I was rather tall and thin. Thus, my sister and others wasted no time in giving me the nickname Beanpole. And, of course, as I had to buy a lot of my own stuff, even while I was in high school, my pants, they just kind of go like this, you know, where you could see my ankles. And so a lot of my classmates would tease me by calling me High Waters. Boy, and if that wasn't bad enough, before I had braces, my sister with glee would call me Fan. Now, there are also some endearing nicknames that, you know, like my grandfather and my pastor, they were kind enough. They just called me Denny, and I think that was kind of a loving way to refer to my name, Dennis. I appreciated that. But, you know, all those other nicknames, I eventually had to succumb to the idea that nicknames, well, they build character. Don't you think? If nothing else, they'll build character. You know, nicknames today are often given in jest or to take a complicated name and make it simpler, or maybe they're just given to remember some particular event that happened in a person's life. But Jesus had a very particular reason for giving Simon a nickname. So let's begin to look at the life of Simon. He was called Simon Bar-Jonah, just like Andrew would have been called Andrew Bar-Jonah, meaning that both of those men were the sons of this gentleman named Jonah. And Jonah is the same name as Jonas or John, so you'll see that variation come about from various texts of the Scripture. It's not meant to confuse you. It's just different ways of using the name John, like today it's John, Johnny, you know, whatever you want to say. But what is really interesting is that the name Simon in Hebrew means to listen, or he has heard, and it was actually a very common name in biblical times, much like John would be today, or, any other number of names, you know, several people that have that same name. Among the apostles, in fact, there were two Simons, Simon the brother of Andrew, and then there was also Simon the Zealot, simply because he was a zealot, member of the zealot group of people. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55 tells us that Jesus had a half-brother named Simon. Matthew 26, verse 6 tells us that Jesus ate a meal at the home of the man from Bethany who was named Simon the leper because he had leprosy. And Luke chapter 7, verse 36 tells us that there was another Simon who happened to be a Pharisee who also hosted a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And of course, there is Simon from Cyrene. He was the one who was compelled by the Roman soldiers to carry the cross of Christ, right? So the name Simon is very common. For those of you here who were here last week, you recall that we talked about Andrew. Andrew was so profoundly excited about that first experience that he had with Jesus that as soon as he left Jesus, late in that afternoon, he hurried to find his brother Simon And Andrew brought him back immediately, although by this time it would have been the evening hours. What is really rather striking, however, is that in this very first meeting between Jesus and Andrew's brother Simon is Jesus immediately gives him a nickname. Now, what's unusual about that is usually nicknames come about over a course of time. Not at the first meeting, not the first gathering. It gives us an understanding that certainly Jesus must have had a sense about this gentleman's personality, or maybe God had just ordained in his mind, you know, some sense of what the destiny was really going to be for this man named Simon. But at the very first meeting, the text tells us here in John chapter 1 that Jesus looked at Simon and then he stated, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas." Cephas is the Aramaic word, again, because Jesus and his disciples and all these folks, the main language they spoke at this time period was Aramaic. But the name Cephas of the Aramaic language, when it is translated to the Greek, it's the word Petros, or our word Peter, and simply means to be like a stone or like a rock. During this very first encounter with Simon, Jesus gives Simon a nickname. He gives him that nickname because Jesus knows that he wants to see Simon become far more than what he was in that present form. You know, so names can have an influence. Names can be used to try to stress a point. You know, when you were growing up, do you remember when you were in trouble? We played outside. Nobody played inside. Your parents didn't want us inside. We were always outside in the neighborhood. We had a big neighborhood, bunch of kids all growing up together in the 60s and 70s. But boy, when my father would walk out the door and he'd say, "Dennis Michael," man, I knew I had done something wrong. And if I could hear that three or four houses down the street. But boy, if I heard my dad call out, "Dennis Michael," I knew I better get going. Anybody else like that? A few of you? Yeah. Now, you know what I mean. Well, what we have to understand from Scripture is that we kind of miss this point. Because, you know, we just read the Bible. We read, 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 read. We miss the nuances of what's going on here. But if Jesus was emphasizing only earthly matters concerning Simon, he would use the name Simon. If Jesus wanted to emphasize spiritual aspirations, heavenly aspirations, Jesus would use the name Cephas or Peter. Now, by his very nature, Simon was a rather brash, impulsive, and likely very worldly in his nature to begin with. After all, he's some big old burly fisherman guy, right? He's a hard-working, blue-collar kind of guy. He's not some scholar. You know, he's just a regular old hard-working man. And it's like, I bet he could belly up to the bar with the best of them. You know, I just think that's kind of how he was. But remember, it was Simon who couldn't keep his mouth shut as he experienced the glory of the Transfiguration. Here, as this event has taken place, Simon Peter, he just pops up and he says, Oh Jesus, we got to make tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. Boy, we're going to make a great spectacle of this place, aren't we? Jesus is really annoyed by that. It's Simon Peter who spoke up when Jesus said that all of the apostles would betray him. And yet in Matthew chapter 25, verse 33, Simon pipes up and says, I will never leave you, even though all the rest do. And of course, what happens? He does. He does betray Christ three times. When references are made to the worldly context of circumstances for Simon, the name Simon is used. Mark chapter 1, verse 29. a reference to Simon's house. The name Simon is used. Mark chapter 1, verse 30, when Simon's mother-in-law is mentioned, the name is Simon's mother-in-law. Luke chapter 5, verse 3, when talking about the fishing business that these men were involved in, the reference is made to Simon's boat. You see? But when Jesus also feels that he needs to rebuke Simon for falling back into his worldly ways, Jesus uses the apostle's original name. Just like my dad would say, Dennis, Michael. Okay, Jesus would say, Simon. Look at some examples here. At the close of the Lord's Supper, when the apostles are arguing about who would be the greatest, and Jesus was saying that they were going to be betraying him, Simon says that he'll never betray Jesus. And Jesus then declares in Luke chapter 22, Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has received permission to test all of you, to separate the good from the bad, as a farmer separates the wheat from the chaff. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you turn back to me, you must strengthen your brothers. In other words, the other apostles. But notice, in that text, he's not called Cephas, he's called Simon. Then, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took the disciples with him to the garden after the Lord's Supper. All 11 of them that were left. But at one point, he separates three of them from the others. He takes with him Simon, and then the brothers James and John. These three made up the most core inner circle of the closest apostles to Jesus. Of course, Andrew, we said last week, was also in many ways a part of that group, so it was really four. But Andrew's often on the sidelines. Here again, it's Simon, James, and John. He takes them with him, and Jesus says, come along with me. And at one point, he says to them, okay, guys, I want you to stay here and keep watch. I'm going to go a little bit further. And that's where then Jesus prays so fervently that the scriptures tell us that his sweat was like drops of blood, right? Now, this was a traumatic experience for Christ to go through this because he knew, you know, what the torture of the cross was going to be all about. As he comes back from that time of prayer, what's happening? What are the three doing? Sawing logs, they're asleep. Now, Jesus had said, keep watch. Now, again, yeah, we know it's late in the evening at this point. But by golly, when it's a serious thing, you ought to be able to what? Do what you're told. But notice how the scripture goes here. In this text of Mark chapter 14, verse 37, the latter portion of the verse, Jesus doesn't say, hey, you guys. He doesn't say, hey, Simon, James, and John. Jesus says, Simon, are you sleeping? Notice, again, he's looking at the apostle that he is looking to be the leader of the group. And it's like, by golly, even you, the leader, can't even stay awake. Simon, are you sleeping? Weren't you able to stay awake for even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, the older I get, the more I say that phrase to myself. My spirit is often very willing, but my flesh is weak. Anybody else feel that way? I want to trade in. You know, give me another body. You know, give me one of those bodies that's really in good shape that a lazy person has. Because I'll put it to use, right? Flesh is willing. Oh, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, but you see here, Simon, wake up. You know, though, however, when Jesus wanted to encourage Simon to aspire towards spiritual characteristics, this is when we see Jesus using the name Cephas. Look at this text of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea Philippi, where he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? Again, this was the text read for you this morning. Some say John the Baptist, they answered. Others say Elijah, while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet. Verse 15, however, what about you? He asked them. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter, he's the guy that takes the initiative. He just pops up and he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus responds in verse 17, good for you, Simon, son of Jonas, John, or whatever you want to say. Good for you, Simon, for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. In other words, you know, Simon, praise God, it's like you're really getting the essence, understanding of what this spiritual stuff's all about. Good for you, Simon. But look at verse 18. And so I tell you, Cephas, and so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will be able to overcome it. You see, Jesus wants to set the vision for Simon that he can truly comprehend what he is capable of being. And truly, he becomes the foundation from which the church of Jesus Christ is built upon. And as we look at so much of the New Testament writings, how much of it is about the work of Simon Peter? A good section of it is. He stepped forward with courage and dynamic faithfulness to God. And you know what's also rather interesting? Not only was this nickname a game changer for transforming the personality of Simon, but it was a name that even Simon embraced himself. Because as you look at the text of 1 Peter, we see that even Simon adopts that second name so that he creates his surname then from both names, Simon and Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He says, as he writes, from Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have been given a faith as precious as ours. In other words, he's saying, hey, I, Simon Peter, write to you saying, you see, by this time, even he's willing to embrace the spiritual guidance that Christ had been wanting to instill within him. Now, what about you and I? You think, well, do we have nicknames? Well, we have names given to us. First of all, Jesus himself. The text tells us in John chapter 15, verse 15, that we are to be friends of Christ. And in addition to that, as we look in the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, it was in Antioch, verse 26, tells us that the believers were first called Christians. When the name Christian was first used, it was a name to tease these people, to razz them, to be diminutive toward them. And yet, the believers of Christ embraced that name, took it upon themselves as a banner to uphold with pride and dignity, as so should we. We are friends of Christ. We are Christian brothers and sisters. And so let us take our nicknames and carry them forth with great joy and pride. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day that you need to come forward and accept Christ as Lord and Savior so I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day that you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 625. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3 of Precious Name. Let us stand and sing. 625, please.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Please be seated for a moment, and let's give the floor to Jim for a moment here, please.
That was intermission. Now we're doing church part two. What a beautiful day to be a part of the children's ministry here at Berry Christian Church, and what an awesome experience it's been for many of us to be a part of these two beautiful children's journey towards accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and their journey towards baptism, probably next Sunday. I want to introduce to you two very special kiddos, Giovanni Samuel Jacobo and Kelly Marie Lawson. And these guys have been with us for quite some time. You might remember them being about, oh, yay tall. I'm always reminded of that, the story of John the Baptist, when Jesus approached John the Baptist and asked to be baptized. And John the Baptist says, I'm not even fit to tie your shoes. Well, I think I have tied these guys' shoes once or twice when they were so tall. But it's been just a joy watching these two grow up here at Berry Christian Church. And so I'm going to ask you both a question or two, okay? The same words that Peter shared with Jesus. So in no particular order, how about we do Kelly first, okay? Kelly, would you say these words of confession after me? I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
Son of Living God.
And Kelly, do you accept him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kelly, for your participation and for your confession of faith this morning. Giovanni, I'm going to ask you to say the same words. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
I believe Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of Living God.
And Giovanni, do you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Great choices you've made this morning. Thank you so much. Hold on. Not quite done yet. So, this is kind of a surprise. I haven't really talked with you guys about this yet, but because your baptism means that you're going to have victory over sin and death, let's put our hands up in the sign of victory while folks give us another round of applause. Okay? Here we go. All right. So would you two meet me back in the back of the church here in just a few minutes? We're going to shake a lot of hands. I predict that the next few minutes of your lives are going to be full of handshakes and hugs and just lots of love. So can you meet me at the back of the church? All righty. And so you kiddos may go back and sit with your folks now. And we'll see you all at the back of the church as well as you depart today. All right.
This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on.
time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. In faith we gather round the table to taste and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new.